Road Trippers, our next partner has a product we're personally using every day. We're all taking Athletic Greens because we want more energy, better immune systems, and we all got tired of taking pills and vitamins. Want to see what all the hype is about? It's obvious. Every scoop of AG1 tastes great and helps us to feel our best in the morning. We have the peace of mind knowing that we're beginning every day with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, and even probiotics. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially in the middle of cold and flu season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your own health. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So all you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin', take ownership over your health, and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin' and get started today. Hey, road trippers, spring is here and it's time to get your fit right for this warmer weather. Get yourself some gear that's meant to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun with premium polarized shades. Check these babies out. They're so fun. And customized snow goggles and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for all of your outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by their lost and broken replacements, meaning if you're like me, okay, and lose or break a pair even on day one, they'll send you a new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they've donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't like them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Again, their team, they always have your back. And here's an exclusive offer for all of you road trippers out there. Shady Rays is giving you their best deal yet. Go to ShadyRays.com and use their promo code ROADTRIPPIN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the Shady Rays that are rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people online. That's ShadyRays.com. Enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN. Let's continue the morning spice with Allie Clifton before 10 a.m. Channing, shall we? Willie Stroker. For those of you that can't see, Channing's name on his video right now is Willie Stroker.
Yeah. Every week I'm coming up with a new one. What was it? I forgot what it was. Kristaps Porzingis last week, and then it was Big Dong Shula. And now my name is Willie Stroker.
And everyone wonders why I choose to stay in this lane.
Yeah, stay in the lane. You went out your lane, and all of a sudden we got a lot of fans. You went out your lane.
Speaking of fans.
I don't know, you had some horny goat weed in the morning.
Horny goat weed?
Yeah, it's actually a thing.
Please, explain. Educate
it's
me.
A thing. It's a stuff you get at the gas station.
Oh, it's stuff. Gas station.
That's gas station. You know, they've made it illegal for baseball players. It's like... it's supposed to help with erectile dysfunction, but I don't know what it does. But it I guess baseball players are taking a bunch of them before the game to get pumped up, figuratively and literally. And it just gets you bricked up. So have they said no more boners while you play baseball.
Stop it. Have you taken
this is a true
it?
Story. Please look it up. Have I? No. Yeah.
Have you tried it?
I bought it because I was bringing it when I was in high school. Yeah. I bought it because I'm bringing it to Vegas and going to give it to Logan.
Oh, my God. I literally was just going to say, can we experiment on your brother?
Yeah, for sure. Logan, walk around with a boner. Poor Logan.
As you lean back with the kid on your chest with his mouth wide open, here we are.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin'.
You don't even know what movie this is, do you?
I do. Sandlot.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay. I was about to say. One. 7 years and one.
Knock that shit out of the park. Welcome to this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing minus RJ this week. You will not be with us. So it's just Willie Stroker, a.k.a. Channing Fry, and yours truly. Speaking of fans, we're going to have a couple fan questions littered throughout this episode. We're going to dive into the latest of the NBA. I actually just had to stop you because you're ready to go in on the Nuggets.
I wasn't ready to go in. That's not true.
But you have a take.
I have a take
on it. Yeah, same. But we're going to start with a fan question from Not gonna lie, I thought when I looked at this, it was Jason Turtle Dick. But it's Turtle from Dick. Jason Turtle Duck.
Oh, boo. I want to talk to Jason Turtle Dick.
What was some insider info that you couldn't share then but can share now? What is that balance? Like, at what point of your career do you have to be removed so much that you can actually say something without getting a...
I think it would be more scout, like a scouting report. Mm. Okay. I think we've already talked about it, but like, you know, I think when you play the Warriors, you have to make them play one-on-one and you can't let them pass, move, cut. They're just too good. Yeah, but you got to be, that was the one thing, like the biggest game was like, you got to grab them, right? You got to make them upset. You got to be physical with them. We got to shake them a little bit. But that was the only thing. But other than that, really nothing. I tell pretty much everything that has to be told.
Was there anything when you guys, like, you know how coaches oftentimes will keep their starting lineups, right?
Yeah.
And they won't reveal them till the very end. One, what's your take on that? And two, was there anything within, I guess, like the finals, for an example, when you guys won it in 2016, that was so secretive?
You know what? We were psychotic in 2016 to the point where we would look at tweets and anything that their camp would say. So like one thing that was little, that had nothing to do with us, right? Like literally nothing to do with the team. Do you remember when Steph Curry's wife got mad that she was delayed?
Yeah.
But it was because of Jay-Z and Beyonce. And she was like, you know, this place is disgusting. And how would they do this? And they're trying to mess with us. Like, that has nothing to do with anybody on the court. But we were just trying to pick and choose anything to hate them more. Right?
No way.
Like, any little thing. So, like, anything that their family said in the paper, anything that, you know, like what Clay said. Oh, like Bron hurt his feelings. What, like any of those things, like made us, we just started like obsess over it as a team to be like, dude, F these guys. But like even our, you know, everyone makes a big deal about like the Ultimate Warrior shirt. You know, mm-hmm. those are passed out free wrestling shirts from the company that we have been wearing. Right? If anybody noticed, our whole team was wearing like Undertaker, Bret the Hitman Hart, the Ultimate Warrior, like, under, you know, all these players. It just happened to be that was an extra shirt that Bron had brought already to wear. Like, nobody was like, yeah, we're gonna passive aggressive the Warriors by wearing an Ultimate Warrior. And people ran with it. And so we're like, all right, screw it.
I mean, but I'm not gonna lie. When you've got a guy like Bron that is very calculated in a sense, right? There are those things and those moments where you're like, how did those... Oh, we're running with it. Because it looks good. Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. Yeah. It sounds great. But yeah, no. Any little thing that, even if it didn't have anything to do with the game, you know, if Steve Kerr would say, you know, this guy didn't play that good, we'd be like, man, fuck Steve Kerr. And I love Steve Kerr, right? I love Steve. Yeah. I love Luke. You love Jaren. Like, all those guys. Andre. So it's hard not to like them, right? That's the problem. But then they're like, you know, they're like a porcupine. Porcupines are really nice, but... if you pet them the wrong way, then you're going to get quills in your hands.
Dad, before we move on from that story, what do you mean Beyonce and Jay-Z? I don't think I heard this.
So Beyonce and Jay-Z had their own security. So they were the story is they were sitting in the loading bay and security wouldn't let anybody come on. So the visiting team's bus was waiting out at the top for like an hour for Beyonce and Jay-Z to get off their bus and to go sit in their seats.
Wow.
So like as the game got delayed, Jay-Z and Beyonce, I guess, wanted to, because I think they gave the game five or six, whichever one, six. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was game four, five, six, seven. No.
Six,
I don't know what game.
Six was at home. Three and four and six were at home.
Maybe game four. Okay. But they were at home. We won, I think, game four, right?
No.
We won game four.
Yes. Okay, well,
yes, we did. The one where Steph, though, was mouthpiece.
That was game six.
You might have came to that one. Whichever one, game one of them.
That was a really bad one. The game six for the Warriors was, the throne mouthpiece that hit the owner's son or one of the co-owner's son of the Cavs.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good story. I've never heard that one, actually. Yeah. But I remember all the outside noise.
Oh, all the outside noise. We were like absorbing it all. Like, I know they probably did that with us, but it was, who knows? It was crazy.
Good stuff there. All right. Well, we're going to be taking some fan questions throughout this episode, but let's turn to some NBA news and I will let you go with your take on the Nuggets. Let's start there.
Well, I think, you know, if you want to look from February, let's go right after All-Star break, right? Mm-hmm. So March 1st, he did not score in the 20s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games, right? Didn't score in the 20s. Obviously getting his points. And then he breaks out and gets 37, 11 and 11, 35, 20 and 11. And you know what's crazy? Those are crazy numbers, but the Nuggets lost. Right, to the Bulls, and then they lost to Chicago, Nets, and the Spurs. So, like, to me, here's the one thing, and I said this is the only thing I worry about. During the regular season, during the first 67 games, teams, it's hard to really scout. But for me, when you get to the end and teams want to try new things, like teams like the Spurs, who have nothing to play for, right, other than to go out there and learn. Now coaches get to try different things, right? So the fact that they're losing to these teams different ways, to me, is a little – like Vooch gave them buckets. San Antonio just kind of blew them out of the water. And then they lost by 20 to Brooklyn. So not like I'm overreacting, but what I'm looking at is that Jokic – they were winning when Jokic isn't doing that, like isn't getting 20s. But the minute he starts scoring up high, they start losing to teams they shouldn't be losing to. That is not good for the playoffs. And here's why. Because teams are going to say, stay at home and make Jokic beat you. Like play, if you have a physical center, make him play one-on-one, go at him on defense, and we'll take our chances.
And look, that's what it's about, right? Because you have to...
Right, I mean, yeah.
You have to beat a team four times.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, obviously, the playoffs especially, it's all about adjustments.
Right. I think, am I worried? No. Am I think this is going to get interesting? Right? Because now, I don't know if Jokic has ever had as much attention as he does right now, for good and for bad. And I don't know personally if he's used to that. Right? He's in Denver. Everybody watches him, but like there's never any real criticism, right? Like Jokic, think about this. Vucevic goes in there and barbecues him and nobody says anything, right? There's no other MVP caliber player where if they get barbecued like that or their team's not winning where it's not news. But the fact that the media is not really, unless we're talking about total, like end all be alls, like, why is he MVP? Is he the really, like, is this a race thing? Unless there are these big stories, the media doesn't report on, oh man, why did this happen? Now, maybe just a bad game, but there's no other MVP caliber player. Like, when's the last time somebody went at Kevin Durant and barbecued him and people were just like, it's okay.
Yeah. No, it doesn't happen.
Or Braun. Like, somebody goes at Braun, it just doesn't. Or Giannis. Like, when's the last time somebody was like, I'm going right at Giannis every single time? You just don't see it that much, right? So I think it's interesting just to watch. Just something I've noticed over this last week. And I'm noticing that teams are kind of revving up and having specific game plans for the Nuggets that they probably haven't seen before.
Okay, so the Nuggets are in that number one seed still with a 5-game lead.
Of course.
There's about 14, 15 games left. Do you think, one, they'll hang on to that number one seed?
I think they have to.
Okay.
I think they have to. Playing in Denver is a beast, one.
Yeah.
Right? For multiple reasons. I think, obviously, the Nuggets are really good at home. And I think, number two, the Nuggets, I don't know if they've never been the the team that's been chased. So them at home takes a lot of pressure off of them to, like, they can make some mistakes and still have a chance, you know, due to momentum. But, I mean, if you're first, let's just look at this. This is what sucks about the Western Conference. If you are first and the Lakers have been balling lately, and I tweeted this, I don't care about that last loss. You did. It was wild to me. I said, what the fuck team is this?
I mean, I've only been asking the question and putting it on our text messages for the last 3 weeks.
It's all because of one dude. You know his name. Jared Vanderbilt. One dude changed the whole complexity of the team.
How crazy is it, though, that last night had the Lakers transitioning from the Nuggets for a second to the Lakers? How crazy is it that before the end of that game, they were in the ninth spot? Had they won, they would have been the sixth seed?
Seventh
seed had they won? I think it was sixth.
Yeah, seventh. Minnesota's 34-34.
Okay, and then had they lost, which they did, they have fallen to 12th, 11th?
10th. 10th.
Okay, on this they have them in 11th, but yeah. Yeah, it's just...
I think they own the tiebreaker versus New Orleans. How about that shit?
They have, which that is a big game coming tomorrow for the Lakers on the road in New Orleans. We talked a lot about the Lakers last week, so let's talk about New Orleans. What happened?
Dude, I don't know. Like, you know, it's a sensitive subject talking about anybody with injuries, but it was like, dude, I had this team being third. Like, I thought this team could, you know, do it. And I'm just like, they are just, I mean, obviously they beat the crap out of the Blazers, but, you know, boo-hoo. But
let,
like,
me ask you this question, though, because I think I read it the other day. It's a very small number, and I did so many games over the weekend, so apologies for not having the exact number. But the number of games that Zion and Brandon Ingram have played together is so small.
It's ridiculous.
How much, I don't want to just ask the obvious, but, I mean, you think of just the two of them individually and where they were to start the season and where they are now. How much does that just simply factor in?
I think it factors in. And honestly, you look at some of the worst teams in the league, they are awful on the road. 11-23 on the road. Like, you can't win anything like that, right?
Yeah.
And as much people say, oh, look at Golden State. Like, any team that's that bad, they're 35-33, but they are 7-26 on the road. But to go back to the New Orleans, at what point are we allowed as media to just call it how we see it, right?
Now.
How can you rely on players that year after year after year don't ever really show you what they can do, but get passes, right? Like, if you're injured, you're injured, right? Like, people were grilling Greg Oden for having injuries, and he tried to play, and it just didn't work out. Like, it happens. It's part of the game. At what point do we just say, yeah, Zion, when he plays, he's amazing. But, you know, out of the 61 games, he's played 29. Brandon Ingram's played 31. We're like CJ Valanciunas and Trey Murphy, different dude, have played like 61, 65, and 65. Like, your others, right? Najee Marshall's played. Herb Jones has played. Larry Nance Jr., right? Hernan Gomez even. Jackson Hayes. So you have guys that are available except for your main two guys. So how can you get better as a young team when your first two guys are not reliable at all? I just don't. I think
so are you giving them a pass?
No, I'm not giving them a pass. I just think it's not, to me, and I said this last year with Larry, and Larry got on me.
Remember,
we were getting into it. And I was like, yo, you can't rely on Zion. Mm-hmm. You can't rely on him anymore. Like, you tried. I've never known anybody with a hamstring to be out that long.
That's what's so hard. And body, but I understand. And I remember we were talking about this a little bit, and even you guys got heated when not that I questioned, but when you only play 29 games and you're voted an all-star starter, knowing that it comes from the fan vote, I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
But at what point you have to be on the floor. At what point are we not holding that to a high enough standard of where you're measuring a player?
Don't roast, right? Yeah, don't roast AD and make the jokes about AD if you're not going to make the questions about Zion and Brandon and some of the other guys, right? It's just like, it is availability is the best skill. And these guys have shown they cannot be available for their team consistently. Now, the verdict is still out on AD. He is balling. He is doing his thing. But for how long, right? And you should be rewarded for that. Yep. I mean, you should be rewarded for being available for your team to be successful.
Do you think the Pelicans will make the postseason? They have Lakers tomorrow, Houston, San Antonio, Charlotte.
Ooh.
Then you've got at Clippers, at Portland, at Golden State, at Denver, Clippers, Sac, Memphis. So the next stretch is important, but that's only about 3 to 4 games.
Yeah, they better win all them boo-boo games.
And then you're finishing your season with all playoff teams as it stands right now.
Yeah, but those playoff teams may be maneuvering at that point. So that's 50-50. That's if your guys are available. So let's say Zion is he even coming back this year?
Your guess is as good as mine. And I hate to say that. I hate to say that.
No, it's not, because at this point, unless he's running and working out, like, he's jogging, he's doing this. To me, you cannot get better at basketball if you spend more time rehabbing than you do working on your game. It's impossible. We've seen that happen to so many people. But again, this is not a Zion roast. This is me being disappointed in the Pelican season because I see the talent. I see it. But they fooled me once again, thinking that they will be available to to show me what it is. You give me 15 games, you hurt for 4. 10 games, 14 games, then you hurt for 50? Come on.
As it stands today, they are not, in your mind, going to be in the playoffs.
I don't think they will.
Okay. Hey, Road Trippers. Our next partner has a product we're personally using every day. We're all taking Athletic Greens because we want more energy, better immune systems, and we all got tired of taking pills and vitamins. Want to see what all the hype is about? It's obvious. Every scoop of AG1 tastes great and helps us to feel our best in the morning. We have the peace of mind knowing that we're beginning every day with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, and even probiotics. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially in the middle of cold and flu season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your own health. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So all you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin, take ownership over your health, and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and get started today. Hey, Road Trippers, spring is here and it's time to get your fit right for this warmer weather. Get yourself some gear that's meant to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun with premium polarized shades. Check these babies out. They're so fun. And customized snow goggles and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for all of your outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by their lost and broken replacements, meaning if you're like me, and lose or break a pair even on day one, they'll send you a new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they've donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't like them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Again, their team, they always have your back. And here's an exclusive offer for all of you Road Trippers out there. Shady Rays is giving you their best deal yet. Go to ShadyRays.com and use their promo code ROADTRIPPIN for 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the Shady Rays that are rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people online. That's ShadyRays.com. Enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN. All right. How about Steph Curry? Did you watch his performance? 22 of his 36 in the fourth and overtime as the Warriors beat the Bucks 126 to 116.
Yeah, unfortunately I did. I mean, he just, He's just nasty. But I also think the Bucks aren't going to, during a regular season, change up anything that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Also, they were missing that big monster, weren't they? Because of his wrist?
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
So it's good just job, another guys. Regular. It's just another regular season game for you.
What, for the Bucks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday.
When is it out? Not for the Bucks? Who continue right, to show and prove?
The Bucks are a veteran team, and yeah. they're like, dog, we have like top 10 defense, top 10 offense. We're just like, you know what? We're gonna play them and learn. We're not gonna give them any schemes. We're not gonna really go at them. Also, he go Drew Holiday. Like, if you really think about it, Drew Holiday had a costly turnover. I think Chris Middleton had a turnover. Like, they had a bunch of turnovers that, like, shouldn't happen. They're just, like, kind of like, bloop, just go out of the way. And so, for me, I'm not worried about the Bucks. I think that was a big win for Golden State. I still am weary of Golden State, like, in a playoff situation on the road.
Let me ask you from that standpoint, that is a big discussion, obviously, 7-26 this season on the road for the Warriors. How much of an element, though, I don't think there's any final word, and we're all still waiting and prayers up, because I don't think anyone really knows, at least from the outside looking in, what's going on with Wiggins. You hope all is well. He's been out for personal reasons. How much is he a factor into where they're going to be able to? Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Let's not forget. You know, as much as we criticized early on, is Wiggins a winner? Is he doing this or that? There were rumblings about him being, you know, finals MVP. Mm-hmm. Getting 17-20, 16-17, like balling out, defending. He's another guy that can score on his own, runs without the ball, moves without the ball, elite defender, bouncy, like rebounds outside of his space. Like, for me, there have been glimpses of what happened earlier on with this Warriors team that I don't think subconsciously has ever really been addressed. I think they're just like, let's play through it. Yeah. But like Draymond and Jordan Poole, like those type of things don't happen that often. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think it'll affect them winning? Maybe. What I really think affects them winning is like, you need Steph to do that to win a game versus a Giannis-less Bucks. Mm-hmm. That to me is a little scary.
Let's take a look at a fan question.
Cool.
Because I'm going to go into a part in my pause there. I'm going to go into some Maverick stuff after this. So get your mind right for the Dallas Mavericks. This is from Cherm502. Who would win a shooting contest today out of the three of you legends?
Oh, fucking barbecue and both. Barbecue and both. Not even close. Not even close. I went and shot. I did something. All-star break. I was shooting. I put the clip up. I was already made 36 in a row before I even got to. Then they were like, well, you're just in the same spot. And so I started moving. And that's how I missed two out of the next 20. So like, yeah, this click, click. I got to register this as a non-concealed weapon.
Oh my God, stop it. I cannot even. Having said that, Channing's never tried to take me on in a shooting contest. I can get inside his head easily.
You shoot with two hands.
It's a lie. That is a lie. I've got one of the best
forms. Shoot like a volleyball player.
Beef. What's that? I crushed at volleyball too. Absolutely not. No one handles a volleyball that way.
What? No, this is how you shoot.
That's called
you
setting.
You make that noise. No, this is...
Here we are. Shout out to my Toledo Rockets, by the way. I'm going to take a moment because the women are dancing. March Madness. Big time win over our rivals. Go on.
You have rivals?
Yeah.
Phoenix DeVry University?
How did those Wildcats do?
Check on it. Stop. Second. Act 12 champs. Let me check on the ladies for you. The ladies. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on.
We already did. The Toledo Rockets.
No.
Taking on Iowa State in Knoxville. No. Shout out. I actually worked games this weekend with a Arizona alum. Steve Quist was my play-by-play. And I was like, he was watching the UCLA Arizona game at some, at like one point in the game. I was like, Steve, we're calling a game here. And I looked down and it's because Arizona was on. And you guys, it was a close one.
It was a very close one. That was, I will agree, that was an awful call. That offensive foul was awful against UCLA, but it is what it is. Oh, it's not done yet. We're 24th, tournament? Which is fine. That's right where we want them.
24th or fine.
Done. Right where we want them.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Mavericks.
Okay.
Where are they currently? Eighth, as it stands today in the Western Conference. Not rolling. To your point, they've lost two in a row. 7-point loss to the Pelicans, had a 4-point loss to the Grizzlies. They've got Memphis coming up again, Spurs at Lakers, at Memphis again. Wow. Then they got Golden State, a couple of Charlottes in there, Miami, Sac.
I'm just
they'll be in the postseason dealing with some injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with some injuries, though.
They will be in the postseason.
Okay.
I am just not rolling with their style of play, personally.
Why?
Since February 11th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 3-8 since February 11th. To me, I think we're as much as I appreciate James Harden, I think that only goes so far. And I think Luka Doncic is a younger, bigger James Harden. And I think adding Kyrie, the idea of it, was nice. But I don't, everyone else now, it just, there used to be one guy holding and four people moving. Now it's two guys standing and three people trying to move. And like the spacing isn't right. Their flow is different. I just think it's, unless they just magically get going, it's going to be tough, right? Because everyone else just stands so much. It's awkward to watch. It's a lot. It reminds me of the old Houston teams. You go. I go, you go, I go. And they're just not a movement team. Yeah.
How do you change that? Because I was listening to a call the other day with it as well. And being able to play off one another versus taking turns.
You can't. I don't think so. I've never seen it. Have you?
No. So my point is how do they?
Guys, like.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that, right? Like you would say. Chris Paul and James Harden work because Chris Paul is a screen and roll guy, right? James Harden is a one-on-one guy, but also a screen and roll guy. So, but like Kyrie's a one-on-one guy and Luka is a one-on-one guy based on matchups. So like they both love the same side of the floor. They, you know, obviously Kyrie could go anywhere, same with Luka, but they both like going left. They both are, you know, not like, you know, Steph and Klay work because Klay runs around like a crazy man, so does Steph. Right. And then they take advantage of those things or, you know, like John Wall, Bradley Beal work or Kyrie and Bron work. Like, but when you have two guys that do and are almost exactly the same, just different, you would need one that's left-handed, one that's right-handed. Like you would need some type of like dance. And right now they're just like, okay, your turn. You take the stage. Now mine. Now you. Now mine. And, you know, I think they're trying to figure it out now. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs. They're just going to get double teamed all over the place.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to just start playing even more one-on-one. But they're still dangerous. It's still dangerous.
Because of those two guys, which is an interesting thought in general. Let's go to the East. As a former Knickerbocker yourself, I wanted to actually talk about this last week, but it got past us. The Knicks. Are they for real? Are they a first round exit? How far can they go in the East? They get back in the win column last night over the Lakers.
You know what?
They're tough.
They're tough. Well, they're energetic still, right? Like they are. Julius Randle set the tone so early for that team. And like they have more guys who know how to play basketball. Like the fact that RJ Barrett is not your third best player anymore, or he is, he may be on and off. Makes him so dangerous.
Who do you have?
Right? It's like,
Brunson.
Huh?
Randle.
Brunson. Hart.
You're putting Hart number two?
Number three.
Okay.
Now here's why.
Okay, so you got Brunson, Randle, Hart. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Here's why I have Josh Hart over RJ Barrett. Josh Hart does every little thing that is needed consistently. getting rebounds outside his area, pushing the pass, cutting, screening. To me, that is like, why is Andre Iguodala so invaluable when he plays to the Warriors? Because he's not out there for stats. Like, if, you know, in college, our coach told us, don't do the same thing the last person did. Like, if one dude dribbles, pump fakes, and kick it to you, you drive to the hole and kick out, or you drive to shoot, or you're ready to shoot. Like, don't catch the ball, hold it, and dribble again, and then the next person catch the ball, dribble again. Like, if you watch Josh Hart play, he's just another guy who knows basketball, where I think RJ sees the game linear. He sees it like, I'm going to the rack, I'm going to the rack, I'm going to the rack, which is fine, which is good, but he's in a place now where he doesn't have to think about really making plays for others, because by the time it gets to him, the right play is for him to play the way that he does.
Yeah, fair. The Josh Hart last night is specifically, to your point, the offensive rebounds late, the free throws, that just the stability that a guy like that, when he's not your number one guy. Yes. Yeah.
But he knows. He's just like, okay, Julius has drove six times. No one else is touching it. You know what I'm going to do? Dribble handoff, and I'll roll to the hoop. Now it's creating an action. Now I kick back out to the three. He's creating energy for the other guy, for the other side of the floor. Julius is going to dribble down. He's going to hit you with his one-on-one moves. He's going to try to get fouled. He's not really a shaker and mover like that. Like, Julius isn't a screen real hard, roll, screen another guy. He's like a catch, let me be the best player on the court type player, which has shown out really well this year because the other guys do and move around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's impressive. It's fun to watch, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's rare to find a Tibbs team with this much energy and enthusiasm late in the season, and it's dangerous. Because they're still running regular season sets. So hopefully with Josh and Jalen healthy and Julius will move around more in the playoffs because he's just going to get double teamed. They're just going to double team the shit out of him. But now they have shooters and guys willing to score on those swings.
Can we talk about it happened a couple weeks ago, but when D Rose got put in the game, and the ovation and the love. We had him on the podcast. Obviously, he was a teammate of yours in Cleveland, Channing. Like, it was such a wholesome moment for a guy. Yeah. I mean, it's God.
D Rose is an interesting.
I almost like cried for that.
It's awesome how much everybody likes him, even though he's done some wild things. Like, D Rose just up and left us and then came back, and everyone's like, okay, no big deal. Like, went to Mexico and got married. Like, in the middle of the season, he was our starting point guard. He was on the Knicks, up and left the Knicks. But, like, nobody remembers any of that because of what D. Rose was and who he is as a person. Now, I'm not bringing that up to bash on him. These are just facts. Yeah. But what I'm saying is he's such a nice guy that even if he does something wildly crazy and out of pocket, they're like, oh, it's D. Rose. Yeah, don't worry about it. But, like, he's earned that. Because he plays the game with such tenacity and, like, enjoyment. I do wish that they would have allowed him to go and be in Chicago. I do wish that. I hope he gets to go there this summer. Whatever is going on with his career, obviously the Bulls need as many guards as possible. You see, even with Patrick Beverley, that team has a lot more life. Just because Pat is making the right moves. None of those guys are point guards. Alex Caruso's not a point. Zach. DeRozan, none of those guys. Dosunmu is not a point guard.
Yeah. There's not many of those stories, to your point, too, of Derek going back to Chicago. There's not a lot of those stories and opportunities. I mean, Channing, it was one of those moments for you in Cleveland and what Cleveland meant to you and for you to finish your career there. It's just special and it hits different. I mean, Derek is one of those guys, and I think many people could say this as well. Man, if he didn't have those injuries. So many
Dude,
people
he's
wonder.
Top three, man, if he didn't have those injuries for me. One is Grant Hill. Two is Derrick Rose. And my sleeper is three, Brandon Roy. Those are my three. Fourth is Greg Oden, because I saw Greg when he was sort of healthy.
Yeah.
When people take this for granted. He broke his wrist and still shot 75% from the free throw line in college as a big man.
Yeah.
Like, Think about that. Like, think about how hard that is, right? Yeah. And then came to the league, obviously had hip and feet issues, but like, dude, I saw the talent, right? Huge, got into the booze a little bit, you know, like really was struggling with life itself, injuries. But like, he was a guy that I go, would have dominated the MVP or the MVP, the NBA, dominated.
What was your thoughts on his quote that he just put out?
What did he say?
In terms of letting down Portland, and he felt like he let people down.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think we see this a lot more now. Mm-hmm. It is watching a kid grow up into being a man with mm-hmm. that much pressure. We see more people not live up to unnecessary expectations than we do for real. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, like, Bron is one of one, and we think Bron is normal. Bron is one of one in his own thing. There's never been another high school kid in our generation, in the AAU generation, mm-hmm. that has lived up to expectations as quickly as LeBron has. Now, Greg, going 1 year in college, getting picked over Kevin Durant, that also hurt. Coming here with some injuries and maybe not correctly having the right veterans around him, or the situation where he is being put to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Being on a team like with, you know, being on a team being the number one pick with Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge, who's an all-star, he was just trying to fit in and be a team player. But when you come in as a number one pick, the expectations for you to just dominate, he never really got a chance to really work on his game. What you saw was pure talent. And mm-hmm. that expectation became a weight. It took the fun away from basketball.
Just to quote him too, I pulled up the quote just to make sure that it was accurate. I just felt like a failure. I felt like I let a lot of people down, letting Portland down, letting the whole entire staff and organization down. I felt like I let my family down and everybody who coached me and believed in me. I just secluded myself from everybody. He wouldn't leave his home for 2 weeks at times.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yo, Gio was amazing, amazing human, a big kid at the time. And sometimes when basketball is everything you have and basketball isn't fun anymore, it mm-hmm. breaks you. The one thing that you have to obsess over, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, every day I got to walk on nails.
Yeah.
It's not fun. And you have to turn off your emotion. And then it is not fun. So Greg did not disappoint anybody. Mm-hmm. To this day, I think Greg is one of the most talented big men I have ever had the opportunity to play with. He was an amazing human, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, great stuff. Well said. I was just in Sacramento over the weekend. I'm going to give you this one, and then if there's anything else you want to discuss before we wrap this up. I was just in the weekend calling state championships at the Golden One Center in Sacramento, and all the hype is obviously about the Kings. You saw the video of the Kings fans at Summer League. Leaving Summer League saying, screaming, we're getting 40 wins this year. And here they are, reached the 40-win mark. I think the first time since 2006, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Rumbles, talks of Mike Brown being the outright coach of the year.
Oh, easily.
Talked a lot about the Kings, whether they're for real or not when it comes to the postseason. Yeah. Coach Brown, easily. Coach of the year, in your mind?
Coach of the year. Oh, yeah, easily. Okay. Easily. Lauri Markkanen, most improved. Coach Brown, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, to me, I think should be Jaren Jackson Jr., to me. I think it should be. Watching him play the way he's played, staying out of foul trouble as much as he can. I think he changes the whole dynamic of that team. They wouldn't be as good. Listen to this. It's a fact. Ja Morant cannot play or play. They are still going to be a top eight team. When Jaren Jackson Jr. does not play, they are 6-10.
Which is so crazy that we have him, and rightfully so, respect, have him in that Defensive Player of the Year conversation. When you go back to the start of the year and he missed a month, a month with the injury?
Yeah.
It's as if it never fazed him or the squad.
Yeah, you know what? He's dealt with injuries, right? So the team is not too worried about that, right? So mm-hmm. he missed a month, and they obviously balled out early. And then, you know, I mean, they were doing a little – they were like 500 early on win two, lose two, win one, lose two. And then all of a sudden they went on that win streak in December where they just dominated that month. They went something in four, the month in four. Anyways, he is really good. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. should be it. Or you look at a guy like Brook Lopez who all of a sudden just decided he wants to block shots. And lastly, to me, I still think, like, if we're really talking about stuff, I'm not mad at Nicholas Claxton. Like, I'm not mad at Nick Claxton, right? For what he does, leading the league in blocks, just being a force on that young Nets team. They're still winning. They are still winning, people. Like, they didn't blow it up that bad. It didn't blow up. They just had a little fart. They didn't poop their pants. They just sharted.
Okay, so you just gave I have to ask the rest then. You just gave most improved, you gave coach of the year, you gave your defensive player of the year. What are we missing? Sixth man MVP. And MVP?
Sixth man. I have Bobby Portis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think no offense to Norman Powell, no offense to Jordan Clarkson, these guys. I think you look at what Bobby Portis has done. He's solidified that bench. They've been one of the number one teams almost all year throughout injuries. His play transforms them. And then MVP. Now, here is my non-biased opinion.
Give it
I think
us.
It should be Joel Embiid.
Why?
I think everybody is going to look at the numbers. I'm doing it by eye test, right?
Okay.
To me, Joel Embiid's engagement defensively is so it, where Jokic is elite at, passing, he's a B minus on defense, which is great. Everything else is even. Joel Embiid defensively is an A+. So to me, I'm going Joel Embiid's style of play, I think transfers to the East, to the playoffs. Now, is that criteria? Is that it? I don't know. This is just Channing talking. I think Joel Embiid's style of play transfers to the playoffs to give his team the best chance at winning. Where I have not seen that from Jokic outside the bubble.
What does he have to do, if anything, more to make sure he locks up that award?
Continue to absolutely. I also do look, and hey, people are going to argue with me. I do look at the matchup. I looked at the matchup, what happened when Embiid played Jokic. And Joel Embiid not only won that game, but dominated that game.
When Embiid played Giannis.
And I'm just like, or not Giannis, Jokic.
No, you said Jokic, and I said, what about when Embiid played Giannis? Do you look at all the matchups?
But I look at like who's the king? Who trying to come for the throne, right? Mm-hmm. Look at these numbers, okay? We're just going to go till February. I'm going to go till he scored less than 20, which he has not since February 20th. 34, 39, 39, 42, 31, 35, 27, 41, 27, 32, 29, 23, a little blemish, but that was in Houston because they, in 30 minutes, 23 points in 30 minutes.
And they won.
37, 35. Oh, they beat the junk out of them.
Yeah.
28, 31, 33, 28, 30, 47, 26. The only time he scored less than 20 was obviously because they went out on New Year's Eve. That was against OKC. And he had 16 points. That is the last time that man has scored under 20 points. That and October 20th. Allie, do you know how ridiculous that is?
How many games has Joel played?
54.
He's played 54 of their 68?
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. I mean, at this point,
my
when
thing
you
is
look
65.
At-
you play 65 games, 60 to 65 games, especially for Joel Embiid, who has a big history. Mm-hmm. That's a beast. That's a beast. Leading the league and scoring again? 2 years ago.
Giannis has played 52 games. And I say these three guys specifically because obviously they're at the top. You've got 48 wins because winning matters to me when it comes to this, obviously, award as well. Your impact on winning. The Bucks have 48 wins. You've got 46 wins for Denver. You got 45 wins for Philly. So we're all right there, right? You've got 52 games for Giannis. You've got what? 54 for Joel?
Yep.
These are just all little things. 60 games. I mean, it's so hard. Throw them in a hat and freaking pick.
Yeah, anyone. Now, I personally want to, I want the responsibility of being an MVP on Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be good for the NBA. I think it'll be good because Joel Embiid takes a challenge. Did you hear when he played Gobert? He was like, well, Gobert's not really a, you don't really get up to play him. But like, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. He's like, man, I'm not even worried about this dude.
Right.
Obviously going out there, barbecue chicken. But like, to me, I like that competitive nature. I think that shows great for the next generation. Not that Jokic isn't great for the next generation, but I like some of the theatrics of it.
Yeah.
Right. I like the shit talking. I like the trolling. I like the challenging and that Joel Embiid's not buddy buddy with everybody. Right.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally like that. So that's just me. And if any one of them, Giannis, Jokic, or Embiid win, I'll be like, absolutely right. Correct. Throw a party for them. They
hard to get it.
It
wrong.
But
yeah.
Hard to get it wrong.
Hard to get it wrong. All right. Well, this was a great episode. We could end on the last question if you want from a fan. Say yes or no. And if you sure you want it?
Yes.
You have to discuss this for at least 25 seconds.
Oh God.
Okay. Mr. Yep. Troll Trollington.
Okay.
I said, if you could ask the crew any questions, go. And he said, she said, no, it would be he, Mr. Literally anything about Allie's feet.
Oh boy. Do you know in France how they have those big rolls of cheese and it's just in factories? When Allie takes her shoes off, that's what it reminds me of. Like a really expensive charcuterie board. Right? Allie's feet is the same texture as like the rocky sandy beach. It's like shag carpet.
Okay,
she has hair growing from the top of her toes.
You are not helping my case. You're supposed to be my feet manager, sir.
Dude, I am not the feet manager, miss. I think your feet are disgusting. Me and you wear the same size shoe.
I do wear size 11.
My sandals,
I am 5'11". That is a lie.
You borrowed
my
sandals
God.
The other day. We're like, damn, you've been wearing these down.
You know exactly how you feel about my feet. But
I am not a feet guy.
Channing, I appreciate your attention span and all your knowledge today.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
it's
it.
It's another edition.
We're here. Road trippies.